Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
I watched the first half of Live and Let Die.
I watched the second half of Live and Let Die.
And this is the other half.
Watch till you can't.
Live and Let Die.
This is Paul McCartney, huh?
It is. It's Wings, yeah.
That's crazy.
It's when he had left the Beatles. He was working with his wife, I believe, and they made Wings, and this is one of their songs.
I think it may be controversial or uncontroversial to say this. I think women make better Bond songs. I don't know why.
I don't know if that's uncontroversial.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's probably pretty fair.
What did you think of this?
I actually liked the song.
Oh, really?
I actually really liked it
so
a lot.
So it's weird because I didn't really hear it in my half, but then...
You heard the themes probably, right?
Yeah. Like they had the theme. I did like the themes. Yeah. I did like the themes. But there's a lady who sings at one point. And I was like, this is good. And then I went and listened to the regular version. I'm like...
You're not a fan?
This isn't as good.
I like the sound. The boom, boom, like the big like hits and stuff.
Yeah,
you
sure.
Know?
That's
some good shit. But yeah, I don't know. Like I haven't really, I guess, heard that many Bond openings that are sung by men. I think you have heard more of them. I think I've mostly heard
probably
the women. So this is the first one I've heard. I don't know. I think I also just like the song outside of... the movie. Like I've heard it obviously outside of the movie and I think it's a banger, but yeah, it's, you know, you could have a take like that. That's fine.
Whoa, what happened there?
That was me. I touched this thing.
You touched the cable.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to touch the cable. I just put my hand in front of it. Yeah. Well, what'd you think about the rest of the movie though?
Mixed.
Oh,
mixed.
Like race.
Yes, that was part of the feelings.
It was pretty racy, this
so
one.
Pretty. They're doing some stuff.
Trying to do some stuff.
I don't know if you should be doing that. You're already kind of weird in the last one with doing the whole Africa diamonds in South Africa.
Yes.
And I was just like, ugh. And then this one's like, what about voodoo?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
in New Orleans, I think, right?
Yeah, New Orleans. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know about this one, big dog, but.
This
had
the very first African-American Bond lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see her? Because she died horribly in my half of the movie.
Didn't see her at all.
And she was completely pointless, and she was working against him.
Okay.
So, cool.
She was like the Black Widow, because they always have those things where it's like one person dies from, like, who's like normal, like innocent.
Well, okay, come on.
And then there's someone who's
like
evil.
Don't say Black Widow.
I can't think. Femme Fatale, that's the other word. Black Widow. Oops. And then there's like a Bond girl that's like cool or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like lives, I guess.
But
so it's like two out of three die.
It's actually interesting because there's the lady who works for the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Solitaire actually works for the bad guy at the beginning half of the movie.
Yeah.
But then it sounds like she ends up being the one that Bond goes off with.
Man.
What?
Solitaire is probably the worst
dude,
Bond
honestly,
girl I've ever seen.
Well, I gotta tell you, fucking, what the fuck was her name? The lady that just fucking died in my half of the movie. She was pretty fucking awful too, and I'll get into all those things. Rosie.
Was she at least a character?
I mean, her character was, she was clumsy, afraid of everything, a trainee for the CIA, and also working for the bad guy.
Okay.
So it wasn't great. It wasn't a great representation of women or like
I legitimately had
people.
No idea what Solitaire was even there for.
Well, I'll tell you all
like,
about Solitaire.
And she did nothing in my house. They didn't even speak to each other.
Well, she's Solitaire. She's all by herself.
She's a solo act. Also, this is the first time we get Roger Moore.
Yeah, this is the first Roger Moore movie.
I've heard a lot about Roger Moore.
Yeah.
Some people like him.
Some people do not. Yeah.
Just like every Bond, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much.
What did you think? What did you think about him?
He's playing a different guy, and he would be the first to admit this. It's like, he admits that, like, James Bond, he goes into these Bond movies knowing they're ridiculous. So he's willing to, like, do a little wink and a...
It's got a lot more puns.
Got way more puns. He's playing it a little bit more absurd. He's also the oldest Bond.
Oh.
Yeah. He started out playing Bond older than any other people started playing
Interesting.
Bond. So I think he also brings a level of, like, absurdity and maturity.
Absurdity and maturity. Yeah. That's my brand right now.
Like, he would be... I read a bunch of notes, like, because I was curious, like, what did he think about these movies? Like, because he's so old, and these movies get fucking ridiculous. I'm just like, what did he think about these? He's just like... I was like in a cartoon. Like, he's just like, I'm playing a cartoon, like a comic book character, you know?
And that's the thing I kind of like about these movies a little bit more is that they're like lean more into the absurdity and the goofiness of just kind of like absurd spy situations.
Yeah.
And I feel like what's interesting is I don't feel like we've only seen one Roger Moore movie, but in terms of like Austin Powers parodies.
Oh, yes. This is starting to lean farther into
it. Austin Powers doesn't really parody these ones at all. It parodies the Sean Connery ones mostly from what
most of that. That's true. At this very moment, there's definitely more towards the that we've seen. There's more towards the Sean
Connery.
That's
true from what
ones.
We've seen. But maybe, I mean, that might change, but my thought is I'm like, because it's already leaning into the cartooniness, it's less fun to lampoon it.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think it's also a thing where, like, there was... I need to go back to when we watched Dr. No, and I was shocked by how human he was, and I was shocked by, like, all of the cool little intricacies that they put into the movie. Those are gone. Like, they're completely gone. Like,
those have been gone, though.
Yeah, but now they're annihilated. Like, now it's like...
But that's the thing. I kind of like it. They rip the Band-Aid off at this point. They're like, this is just goofy bullshit now.
Right, right.
And I think the goofy bullshit, to me, makes the problematic bits go down a little bit easier. Because I'm like, I can't take this movie seriously, so I don't think its message is serious.
Yeah.
It's like watching one of the problematic fucking Leprechaun movies, you know?
Oh, sure, sure.
Where it's like...
Leprechaun in the Hood.
Yeah, where it's like, this is weird and kind of racist and probably pretty misogynistic. I mean, the fucking Leprechaun, was it Leprechaun 2? He's like a horny guy trying to like have sex with his like underage girl or some shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that was bad, but it didn't feel as bad as when James Bond like choked a woman into liking her, you know?
Yeah, that's fair.
Because it's just like, this is fucking Leprechaun, okay? It's like, this is goofy James Bond, so we're going to have like weird voodoo stuff.
There is a test.
And it's bad, but it sounds good.
There is a test at the very end of my half of the movie that I'm going to pose to you that this movie, I think, tests us on. And this was definitely one of the things where I was just like, I think James Bond has taken a turn down a street that I cannot no longer really follow.
Really?
So I'm kind of curious to see where
I'm running
with him.
I'm going with him. At this point, I'm like, give me the camp. Give me the camp.
You're in the camp.
I'm in the camp. I'm ready for this camp.
Well, you know what? This is the first one I've seen so far where James Bond is not wearing a fedora.
Thank God. The 70s are here finally, all right?
He walks in, not wearing a fedora. They're not even hiding the fact that it's a completely different guy, by the way. This isn't like the last James Bond when somebody replaced Sean Connery.
Oh,
and they were like
George Lazenby. Yeah,
and they were like hiding his face and obscuring it. And they were like being really like cagey as to who's going to play James Bond. They're just showing him full facial. Like, we know who he is now. We know it's not
facial.
Connery. Full facial.
I think it's funny that also they keep the actors for M and Moneypenny the same.
It is nice. It adds a level of, you know, consistency.
Even though.
And that will continue on even as they change later on. Like, obviously, Moneypenny and M change in the later movies.
Yeah.
But, like...
Because people die.
Because people die.
Yeah, yeah.
But when they replace M with Dame Judi Dench, we have several Bonds going through her, you know? Yeah. So it's like a similar sort of, like, thing. Even when
it's
they true. Switch out those actors, they still have to switch
it's
out the Bonds.
It's fun. It's a fun little
I like it.
Nod, yeah.
So the movie opens at the United Nations in the U.S., and... everyone is listening to a translator talking. I think it's like from Honduras, like somebody from Honduras is talking. And so they're speaking in a language not everybody understands. And the UK representative is listening to whatever the translator is saying. And in the translator booth, a guy comes in, pulls out the UK translator's like, earbud from there. So like the translator's like, huh, there's nothing coming in through my, or the UK representative's like, nothing's coming in through my earbud. Mm-hmm. And then they plug it into like a bomb and they press down the plunger and the guy just like has a seizure and dies.
Amazing. See? This is goofy.
Pretty goofy. Pretty goofy. Okay, actually, it gets even more goofy. This is actually one of my favorite.
That's the thing. It's not that goofy yet.
This is one of my favorite bits. Is we see a guy in New Orleans, and he's across the street from a restaurant called Filet O'Soul.
Oh, yes. I've seen that restaurant.
Comes into play later, which I wrote it down. And he's like looking at the restaurant. It's the middle of the morning, and there's a funeral that passes guy and passes by this guy, and he's like smoking a cigarette. And this other dude sort of comes up and like he watches the funeral go by, and they're playing like really solemn music. And it's New Orleans, so it's like a whole bunch of like people and like a, you know, in like a long parade, you know, mourning this person's loss with a coffin. And the guy like leans over to the other dude who's walked by, the smoking guy leans over and goes, "Whose funeral is it?" And the other guy goes, "Yours." And he stabs him.
Incredible.
And then the parade comes over and they lower the casket and open it up and they put his body in the casket.
That's dope as fuck.
And then sorrowful, sad music turns into a party music and everyone just starts dancing.
This owns. See, I don't know why you can't go down this path. This path is great.
This is great. I love all this shit. This is great. And then we're on a Caribbean island and a bunch of tribes people are dancing excitedly while one white guy is tied up to a stake. And I'm assuming the chief of them goes up with a snake in his hand. And he makes the snake bite the guy in the neck.
Does he have a wolf mask on?
No. But I think there's a guy that you are thinking of. Okay. That is the opening. We have Paul McCartney wings. And I wrote down this intro, pretty fucking cool. Like, for instance, you have, you know, skulls, you have fire. Right. There's a lot of like black women in silhouette. Uh-huh. And there's one bit where like this, like one woman is looking dead at the camera. And, you know, it's like, "In the world in which we live in, have to give it a cry. So live and let die." And then as that happens, her face turns into a skull and explodes.
Aw, that's pretty
cool.
And
I was like, that's pretty fucking cool.
That's pretty good.
This is one of the coolest intros.
That's pretty sick. I'm excited for that.
It was pretty great. Now we are introduced to this Bond. Now, again, I always try to keep note of like how are these guys introduced. And that's actually kind of cool. I've been the first to be introduced to these guys.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point so far. I've been introduced for Casino Royale Bond.
Okay, except for Casino Royale. Yeah,
the most
with the most Bonds.
Most Bonds.
Yeah,
true.
But other than that, I've been introduced to all of them, and so he is introduced in bed with this random woman, and she asks for one more time again, and he says, "You're not married, are you?" So he's already like womanizer.
Yeah.
And he gets a knock on the door, and he goes to the door, and it's M, and he invites M in, but he's trying to hide the lady in his like bedroom. So he's like, "M, do you want like some coffee?" And he brings M over into his kitchen and loudly makes espresso just to like give the woman in the bed like enough time to like get clothes on. I'm just like, oh, Ben, like Bond's never been like that concerned about like hiding the fact that he sleeps with women.
Yeah.
And then M drops the fact that apparently the you know, the mission that he just went on went really well, but they can't find the princess or whatever. And it's like, oh, it's because this is the woman who he was supposed to save. So that's why he doesn't want M seeing who it is. And then Moneypenny walks in and sees the woman come out of the bedroom like stark naked, and she's like, "Here, get in the closet." So like the woman gets in the closet, and then M, who just earlier on had taken his jacket off and put in the closet, goes back to retrieve the jacket, and Moneypenny opens the door for him but doesn't have him look in the closet and retrieves the jacket for him so that M is unaware that there's somebody in there, and it also shows that Moneypenny's there to help out, you know, Bond still. But that's how we're introduced to Bond here. He likes coffee. He sleeps with ladies.
Okay.
So
far, not too different.
Not too different, but it is interesting because remember, we always have to like compare it to earlier Bonds. And like the first time we were introduced to Sean Connery, we saw him. He's fully clothed. He was in a casino. We got like aspects of things that we like knew about this guy. He was lucky. He was suave. He was in control. Mm-hmm. You know. And then the last Bond that Lazenby. We saw him struggling on a beach. He got easily tricked.
Yeah.
You know, and this Bond, I think we're trying to go off on the thing of like, he is essentially just the same guy, but he takes things a little bit less seriously. That's, I guess, what I'm, what we're sort of getting from this guy. Like, you know, he's sort of like, he really worries about, like, for one thing, getting in trouble with M.
Yeah.
And he's really, his Bond is more considered like hijinks, right? Like, there's a little more hijinks here of like, M's at the door, I have to get him into the kitchen so he doesn't see the lady that I've got in the bedroom.
I like the hijinks reading. I think that's pretty accurate to how he kind of plays everything, whether he's just like, "I did a thing and it was weird. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna make a pun about it and we're gonna keep on going." And he doesn't miss a beat. Like, he then he goes on the next action scene.
He's almost like a Bugs Bunny. like style.
I would agree with that.
Or like a Daffy Duck. Mm-hmm. and we are also introduced to the fact that he has a watch that has an electromagnetic field on it. Does this ever come into play in
Holy boy, does it come into play.
Well,
this watch can do everything. I think this is the watch from like the GoldenEye game where it was like,
probably.
This can do everything.
Well, this is how they introduced the watch, right? Mm-hmm. So he mentions that it has electromagnetic field on it. Mm-hmm. He attracts the spoon that M is using to like stir his coffee. Mm-hmm. And then just as M and Lemony Petty leave, he opens up the closet with where the woman is in the closet, and she's like all dressed up, and he's like, how about another one? And he uses the watch to unzip the back of her dress.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, all right, this is pretty
cool. That's pretty funny.
And then she goes, wow, such a light touch. And he says, sheer magnetism.
I love it. So goofy.
So we now have Bond on a plane because M is here giving him a mission of like, there's all these people. The three people we saw earlier were people that were working for the CIA and operatives for the British intelligence, and they're all dead. And so Bond has to go investigate what happened to these guys. Why are they dead? Who's behind it all?
Yeah.
And so we see a plane ride of Bond from like flying from Europe to America, New York, in fact. And all this is taking place like, you know, it's almost like an Indiana Jones style like transition or montage where you see the plane and then over top.
Is that the map?
It's not the map.
Yeah.
It's tarot cards are being like thrown down.
Tarot cards are the thing in this.
And it's some woman going like, he brings destruction and sort of telling what's going to come in the wake of him arriving, basically.
Ooh.
He lands in New York City.
Is this someone else doing it to like another person, being like, he's bringing this, bringing that? Okay, so like,
we don't know who it
someone.
Is.
Yeah, okay.
We don't know who it is yet. Yeah, we will.
Oh, I'm sure.
Bond lands in New York City. He first thing he does is call up his good old friend Felix, who is played by another actor.
Keep Moneypenny and M like always the same, but
007 changes quite often.
Like Felix is like a sneeze.
Never
he
the same fucking guy.
Every same, just a different person each time.
He's like the drummer from Spinal Tap. Like they're just gonna keep replacing him. So he lands in New York City. Felix is like, hey man, I got you a driver. It's all good. So he gets a driver. He gets in the car. The Bond's in the back of this like car. The driver's driving him. And everything's all cool. And then all of a sudden, this white, and I'm quoting the movie, a white Pitmobile drives next to the car that Bond is in. And out of the mirror on the right, the side mirror of the car, there's a little gun sight, and it shoots the driver mysteriously, quietly. And so Bond at first doesn't know anything's wrong. He's just like, hey, bro, like, fucking watch the road. And then all of a sudden, he just starts fucking accidentally crashing in a car
because
he's dead.
Yeah.
The driver's dead. And now Bond has to drive the car from the back seat. And honestly, looks pretty cool, like him driving on a very busy street in New York City and like ramming into cars and eventually like stopping by like skidding the car into the side of like a giant truck. Pretty cool scene. And at first I'm like, man, this is really clever, because like it could have been any car, because like it was on the freeway, he didn't know what was going on, there's all these cars that drove by. But for some reason, like, Bond was able to clock what car did it and knows exactly the license plate.
It was a white Pitmobile, right?
It was, but he doesn't know what car could have been.
Oh, I see. Like,
from his perspective, he was just like reading the newspaper in the back of the car, you know?
Maybe did he not see the bullet hole where the bullet came in?
No.
Yeah, okay.
In fact, he didn't know the guy got shot originally, right?
Interesting.
But it's like, but a little bit of me is like, well, maybe he clocked that there was like a black man driving next to them. And he's like, I got to.
Wow, you're like super like next level, like, I got to see the racism.
What else could it be? What else could it be?
I thought it was just that maybe he saw the car drive away after that guy started acting weird.
Because that car had already driven away.
It's completely gone.
It was already gone. He doesn't know what car could have been in, unless. And so we are introduced to Kanaga.
Kanaga, yeah.
Yeah, Kanaga. He's a representative for a Caribbean island that that operatives were killed in. And he's being watched by
MI6 operatives?
Yes. Okay. And he's being watched by Felix over like a camera. Mm-hmm. And Kanaga knows he's being watched. And so he plays like a recording of him talking in his office while he gets dressed up in, I don't know, pimp clothes. Like, he dresses in different clothes, and so do all of his people. And he, James is able to clock the Pitmobile, and this is what they're referring to it as, and figure out like where it's registered. So they find that it's registered at a place called a voodoo shop in New York. So Bond goes to visit it. He sees the driver that he had clocked driving the Pitmobile car walk in the back area. So he walks in the back area, finds the Pitmobile, and just as he's next to the Pitmobile, Kanaga and his crew, who are all dressed like pimps, sneak out to their very own car in a secret passageway. And they drive off, and James sees the car drive off, sees that Kanaga's in the car, and he sees a taxi drive up, and he's like, I need to get in that taxi. And so he gets in the taxi, and he's like, taxi, follow that car over there. Mm-hmm. So the taxi follows the car, and a black man is driving the car. And the black man is like, where are you headed? And he's like, I think he's headed this way and this way. I don't know where he's going. And he goes, I think he's going to Harlem. You know, mm-hmm. You know, he's like, I don't know if you're going to be safe there, Mr. White Man.
Okay.
And so we have the pimpmobile, we have the taxi, and then we have another car following the taxi car. And the guy following the taxi car is like, he's like, you got a honky on your tail. And then someone else is like, you can't miss him. It's like we're following a cue ball. And then Bond gives the taxi guy an extra $20 to like speed up, like to like avoid it. Like, doesn't matter if the guy knows he's following you, just like make sure you're following him. And he's like, I'm gonna give you $20. And he goes, for $20, I'll take you to a Klan cookout.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Holy shit.
And then,
by the way, I'm fully racist. Just to let you know, I got all the hookups for all the racist shit. You into this?
Well, it's a black guy driving the car.
Oh.
So he's like, I'm willing to put myself in danger for $20 that
okay.
you gave me.
Okay,
and so
then
he ends up driving.
I was like, I thought Bond just like out of the races.
Oh, no, that would have been crazy.
That's
but
what
no,
I thought. Okay,
no,
it's a guy being like, I'll do whatever. Okay.
Yeah, he's like, I'll take you wherever you want for $20. Okay. So he ends up driving the car wherever it goes. And then just as Bond gets out of the car and he parks right in front of the Filet O Sol. So Bond goes into the Filet O Sol. And as he's going in, the taxi driver pulls out a phone and he goes, he's going in. So even the taxi driver is working for the
Damn.
Big bad. Yeah. For Kanaga, I guess.
So maybe he does know where to clam rally.
He probably does.
It was all the bad shit.
He's all about that shit. So all Bond goes into the Filet O Sol. This part was probably one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie.
So Filet O Sol's in New York?
There's multiples.
Oh, it's
There's
a chain one in, restaurant. It's
yeah,
like House of Blues.
Chain. Exactly.
Okay.
It's like House of Blues. That's right. So he goes in and specifically he doesn't order the shaken not stirred.
Martini.
He orders a whiskey neat.
Oh,
he doesn't drink.
Yeah, this one likes bourbon. Guy likes bourbon and whiskey.
That's right, neat. And so he goes up and he orders from the bartender. He's like, "Can you give me a whiskey neat?" And they're like, "Yeah, sure." And then he's like, "Just sit over there. You know, we'll bring you a drink." So Bond goes over to a table that he was like directed towards, which is like against a wall. And then the waiter comes over with the bourbon. And Bond's acting all smooth and he pulls out like another $20 and he's just like, so I need some information on this guy named Kanaga.
He's really working a lot with $20.
And just as he says that, the wall that he's on just spins and he winds up like in the, like on a backstage area, like face to face with Kanaga.
Oh shit.
But as he does that, cause we stay with the waiter that brought the whiskey to him. And so like Bond, it spins to the other side of the wall. We see the whiskey, the waiter with the whiskey, and he just drinks the whiskey and walks away. And I'm like, that guy rocks. I love that guy.
That's amazing.
Shit rocks.
Wait, what's Kanaga look like?
Kanaga's like sort of like a stocky. Well, okay. He is actually the dude from Alien.
Okay, got
yeah.
it.
He's
yes.
got a beard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's kind of, and he's like balding or like.
He's got no beard in this one, though. He has hair in this, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, I think he's got hair. That's right. I think I'm imagining from Alien where he had the hat.
Yeah, I think you're imagining.
But yeah, he's the guy from Alien.
Okay.
And so he's there. He's all dressed up. But we learn that Kanaga is not the one calling the shots. It's a guy named
Mr. Big.
Mm. Yeah. And yeah, in fact, the guy says, "Relax, baby. Mr. Big is going to take care of you." We're also introduced to Solitaire, which is a white woman who reads voodoo cards, tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
And we also meet a guy named Teehee. Who
oh, yeah, he has a hook.
He's got a claw arm, and he takes Bond's gun, and he just bends it, and then he laughs at him.
I fucking love Teehee.
Teehee rocks.
He's just a weird guy who just laughs
he
and
doesn't
smiles
say anything.
And just, like, attacks Bond randomly.
I love it. And then Bond goes over, talks to Solitaire, and he flips a card, and it's the Fool card, which shows, like, he's the Fool. And then Bond tries to, like, introduce himself to Mr. Big. And so Bond says, "My name is..." Mr. Big says,
"Names is for tombstones, baby. Y'all take this honky out and waste him now."
I was like, Mr. Big rocks.
Yeah.
I don't know who this guy is. I'm for him. This guy is cool as fuck. And then he says, "Take him out, like, back and waste him."
So is Mr. Big's hanging out with Kanaga at this point?
Yeah, Mr. Big is the one calling the shots.
Interesting.
He's the one that has connections all over the place, apparently.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And he says, Mr. Big tells everyone to waste him. And then Bond goes over to Solitaire and he's like, "Waste him? Is that a good thing?"
Oh, Bond.
And then just as he's about to leave, he pulls out one last card from the deck, and it's the lover's card. And Solitaire is very surprised by this. And so Bond is taken into an alleyway to be shot. He dispatches the two guys that are about to kill him, and we are introduced to Harold Stutter of the CIA. He's another black man.
Harold Stutter.
Yeah, with the CIA.
Interesting last
Strutter,
name.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Harold Strutter.
Okay,
sorry.
I was like, Stutter. I was like, I know these movies are kind of on the nose of their thing. And no. He like legitimately would have a stutter.
You would, right? Bond says this great line where he's like, where were you when I didn't need you? Which is pretty great because it's like, I can handle myself. Where were you before this? So he mentions that Mr. Big has connections everywhere and that Kanaga is just a two-bit island diplomat. And Kanaga is headed right back to the Caribbean on a private plane, and Bond is going to follow him. We are introduced to Baron Saturday.
So he only follows Kanaga, not
Mr. Big. He's following Kanaga because that's his mission. Because sure. Kanaga's got some kind of secret thing, basically. So Mr. Big is, I guess, some other guy. I don't know. But Kanaga's the main guy.
So he's following. Why is he following Kanaga?
I don't, because that's what the movie's wanting.
As an M1 to say, was he doing anything bad?
I think he's got. Well, it's his island that he's the diplomat of that one of the agencies, the agent people died on. So I think that's why.
So it's literally just like a revenge type situation.
I think they're just trying to figure out, like, because they have people that are getting closer and closer to that island, I think is what's going on.
Got it.
And then once they arrive there, they die.
Okay.
So they're trying to figure out what's going on that island. We are introduced to Baron Samedi.
Sure.
Which is short for Saturday, or French for Saturday. So I'm just going to call him Baron Saturday.
Okay.
This guy is fucking cool. Uh-huh. He's like, they call him the man who cannot die.
Okay.
But he's dancing for like tourists. He's a lot like.
Does he have a hat?
Yes.
Okay.
That's him.
Baron Saturday.
Baron Saturday. Okay. He is
Dr. Facilier.
He is Dr. Facilier.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep, I saw him and I was like, yep, that's him.
He's fucking cool.
He's awesome.
He's awesome.
I love that guy.
His voice, his entire energy. His apparently, vibe. He was like a dancer. His entire vibe. I love him.
Cool shit.
But it's cool because he's like a big bad dude who cannot die and he's literally dancing for tourists. And I'm just like, I guess you got to do what you got to do.
You got to make that, you know, you're going to make so much money off not dying, right?
That's
true. You got to earn your keep.
That's very true. So Bond arrives at the hotel and the person at the front desk says that Mrs. Bond is expecting him. So he goes into his place. He sniffs the women's clothing.
Just women's clothing on the ground or something?
In the closet. He just finds women's clothing in the closet and he sniffs.
Yeah, he's trying to figure out where she's from.
Where she is. Yeah, exactly. Where she's from.
Where she's from. It smells like a font.
So, and then he finds out where there are like hearing devices in the room using a little machine. And then he calls room service and he's like, can you guys please bring some champagne for me and Mrs. Bond? Bring two glasses, please. And then he steps into the tub. And then above the tub, a little snake crawls out of the wall and is like going down into the tub. And it looks like a garden snake.
Yeah, probably garden.
It doesn't look dangerous at all. But he's in the tub and he's shaving. And this is so like undignified. Like it looks like a little kid or something. Like he doesn't look like the scary. He's like a dude, a big tall dude in a tub, like shaving. Like, I don't know. There's just something very silly about this entire man, like image.
Shaving is kind of a dehumanizing kind of art, I feel like.
You think so?
I feel like it, because you're like conforming to societal norms, you know? You're just kind of like,
but you have
to
if
thing.
You're going
to
work for Her Majesty's Secret Service.
It's true, I get it, but you know, it's kind of hard. I don't think anyone's ever looked like super dope shaving, you know?
I think some Except people maybe look kind of dope.
I think masculine like face stuff, I think you can pull that off, but if you're shaving anywhere else, I think society
like,
has...
Like your balls?
Like your balls.
Yeah, he's not shaving his balls, but he is in the bathtub, so maybe he's shaving his balls. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like it's just been kind of, I don't know, co-opted by the patriarchy.
I agree with you. So a snake crawls into the tub, and then room service arrives, and notably, the guy who's delivering the champagne, the room service, I believe is the driver who shot Bond's driver from earlier. And he delivers the champagne. Bond lights a cigar. He doesn't smoke cigarettes anymore. He only smokes cigars.
Ah.
This is another change between him and Sean Connery. And he's about to apply aftershave, but then he sees the snake in the mirror behind him. And so he uses the cigar to light the aftershave, the aerosol spray, and he just fucking kills the snake with it.
What in the frat party?
Yeah. And then he just... And he sprays some aftershave and he just puts it right on his face. Like, not a big deal.
Not a big deal.
And then he hears like a knock at the door. So he goes to answer the door, but he can't find his gun.
Where's Mrs. Bond?
Just fucking wait.
I'm wanting fucking to know. Second. I'm asking.
What's happening right now? She is arriving right now.
Okay.
Okay. So somebody's at the door. So he goes to answer the door. And as a gun is put through the door, like a frame, as the door slowly opens, he uses his cigar to burn the hand.
Ooh.
So they, whoever it is, drops the gun. And then he takes the person who's at the door and just fucking like throws them into the room. And they land on the bed and their wig falls off. And it is, what's her name? Rosie Carver.
Rosie Carver. Not as sexual as I was expecting.
No. She is a CIA operative, a black woman, and her wig fell off. It's very sad. And she's got a cool like Afro wig and it fell off. And he says, you better get your head together, like referencing the fact that her wig fell off.
Okay.
And then Bond is her second mission. Her first mission was the previous operative who died. And at first I'm like, oh, well, you know, maybe she's like new, but maybe she's just like knows a thing or two, or maybe she's just like really resourceful. She sees the dead snake in the bathroom. She screams. And then he's trying to like put the charm on her. He's just like, hey, baby, like, how about you and I like sleep together, Mr. and Mrs. Bond? And she says, Felix told me that there would be moments like this. He said, if all else failed, cyanide pills.
Whoa.
And so she's like, I got two bedrooms. I'm going to go sleep in a separate room. And she goes into the separate room, and on the pillow on the bed in the second room is a small hat with feathers and blood. And she says, it's a warning. And she says, please don't leave me alone tonight. And he says, if you insist.
Okay.
So next morning they get breakfast delivered, and attached to the receipt of the breakfast is a Queen of Cups tarot card. So it shows that Solitaire is still following him. And he like starts to brush up on like what do different tarot cards mean. Rosie and Bond go fishing. They get a boat where the captain is asleep rather than begging for people to come to him. So I'm just like, oh, is this a situation where he's like trying to find someone who's like less like desperate for like money or something like that? So
perhaps
he gets in the boat. And Rosie doesn't speak this guy's language. And I'm just like, why in the fuck are you even here? Like, you can't speak anybody's language. You're like not resourceful. You're terrified of snakes that are dead.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's your point? Just be Bond. It's Bond girl. You had to fit her in somewhere.
Yeah. Great representation for the first like African-American Bond girl. Yeah. Gotta love it. And so then she goes in the back under the boat to change into her bikini, and she finds a bunch of hidden tech and weapons behind a wall. Whoa. So she grabs the gun and she points it at the captain. And when you know what, the captain is Quarrel Jr. Remember from Dr. No? Quarrel?
Oh my God.
It's his son.
What?
Yeah. He comes back.
What?
Yes.
What a weird reference. Like, I had to dig in my archives of my brain and be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's that guy who was, like, driving around the island.
He got burned by a tank.
It's his son.
Wow.
And he's just like, yeah, I trust this guy with my life. And he helped me out in previous missions. And
he did, or his dad?
His dad did. And he's just like, and he's also like, this is why he went directly to him rather than any of the other pilots or the captains of boats. He was just like, I trust him. Isn't that weird?
Does he have a British accent?
He never speaks. Okay. In my half of the movie. Oh, he says a couple of things, but I don't know. Does he have a British accent? Does he have an ear to that movie?
I mean, I don't know who he is. I just see a guy who kind of helps Bond.
It's probably him.
Yeah, he's like the only black guy on the team, so I imagine it's probably him.
Probably. So, Solitaire has her own island, her own house on her own island.
Damn.
And only Kanaga can go up there. Right?
She was born too early. She should have been an Instagram influencer.
She should have been an influencer. Yeah. We also learn right now that Rosie is working with Kanaga, so we can't trust her. And Bond immediately is growing suspicious of Rosie.
How did we learn that?
Well, we learn this because Rosie over the phone is talking to Kanaga.
Couldn't make it any more obvious.
Yep. So Bond is growing incredibly suspicious of Rosie. And so they have a little picnic together, and then they make out. And then he says, tell me why you're really here, Rosie. And he reveals the Queen of Cups card that he got. And he says, you see, these, if placed upside down, represents a deceitful woman, a liar, and a cheat.
Okay.
Which is very interesting, because how, when you read tarot cards and you read them upside down, they're usually like placed in front of you by the tarot reader, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But like, this card was like attached to a receipt. Like, how does he know if it was placed upside down or not?
Well, you know? Look at the receipt and you see how it's attached to it.
But it's attached on the back. So was it like attached upside down on the receipt?
Must have been.
I guess. That's just,
that makes sense.
Like, I don't know. That just seems like, so much, you know, work.
you're like Gelson's or whatever, and then you look on the back and it's an upside down tarot card. It makes sense.
All right. Well, he takes
an interesting thought. You're right. It is weird.
Because I feel like I would pick it up and remove it from the thing and then be like, oh, fuck.
Well, yeah, I would forget too. Absolutely, I would do the same thing. I'm not saying I'm... I understand how he got it.
Me and
that's
Bond,
why we're not
right?
Bond. That's why we're not in MI6. And we're sitting here recording a podcast in your living room.
We are, what, six movies into...
I think this is eight.
Oh, God.
Is it eight?
I don't know, man. Look it up. Maybe it's seven. 007.
007.
Rosie is too afraid to give James any info, and so she runs away, and she is shot dead by a voodoo head.
That was very quick.
Yeah, it was.
She was not on there for very long.
She was barely in the movie, and the little as she was in the movie, she didn't do very much.
Oh, this is the eighth one. Yep.
Wow. Man, good counting, bud. So, Kanaga's watching because he's got these little cameras on all the little like voodoo sculptures and stuff all around the island. So he sees all this and he's like, how in the fuck did our plan not work? How did our trap fall apart? Like, we were using her to like trap like James Bond and kill him.
Just James Bond ain't as horny.
Well, so actually, well, for when they actually did fuck.
Oh, never mind.
So he already got what he wanted.
Right, you're right, you're right.
But here's the other thing is like the cards, right?
Yeah.
The card... And we only know the only person in the movie that has cards is Solitaire. So Solitaire, knowing where James Bond was, and apparently being a lover to James Bond, according to the cards, left that card on the receipt for him to tell him subtly that he should not be trusting this person.
I just love that Bond knows somehow how to read tarot cards. Like, that's part of his training.
He did go into one of the tarot shops to get some information.
Okay, so he's like, give me a quick lesson.
And that's what happens, right?
Okay.
What happens? So Kanaga asks Solitaire, like, okay, what are we going to do next? Like, where is James Bond? Where is he? And they hard cut, and James Bond is parasailing on the back of Quarrel Jr.'s boat over Solitaire's house. So he's literally right there. And Solitaire's like, I'm not going to tell you. You're screaming at me, and you're upsetting me. And honestly, like, I can't do any readings when you're doing this.
Solitaire is a very solitary, quiet, introverted lady.
It's true. And so Solitaire's like, you know, I can take that power of yours away whenever I want.
Which
and then he leaves.
Is he referring to?
The power to read cards.
Wait, he can take her power away.
That's what.
Oh, okay.
That's what Kanaga says.
I thought it was Solitaire said. You can
sorry, take sorry. No, maybe I messed it up. He says. Kanaga says to Solitaire that he can take her power away.
God, okay.
And I'm just like, whoa! How did he like bestow this power onto her? And how does he have the opportunity to take it away?
I don't know.
Do you want to take a guess?
Is it something with Mr. Sunday or whatever his name is? Mr. Saturday? Noble Saturday?
Baron Saturday?
Baron Saturday. Saturday man. I don't know.
Saturday guy.
I was almost going to call him Dr. Sunday.
That's a very good guess, and that's what I thought too, but I'll tell you what it is. Bond parasails onto her house, knocking Henchman off a cliff, which was pretty great because it's just a guy on the side of a cliff, and then it's just he's just standing there, and he's like parasailing, and he just like kicks him, and he goes, ah!
That's kind of dope.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
And so he like drops the parasail, he like takes off the parasailing outfit, and underneath, of course, is like a cool suit. And then he goes in, and he's playing with her cards, and she says, blasphemy. And he's like, well, I believe we're supposed to be lovers according to the cards.
Mm.
And she says, oh, well, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, I can read cards, sure. And he has a full hand, a full deck of cards, and he splays them out and he says, pick one. And she goes and she picks one. She looks at it and it says lovers on it.
Mm.
And then he gets up and he starts to like make out with her and he drops the hand. And the hand is full of lovers cards. He stacked the deck.
Oh.
Tricked her. Damn. And so then they are in bed together. And he says, yes, well, now I think you need to tell me where Kanaga is staying. You know, use your little cards and try to tell me some information about where Kanaga is. And she says, it's finally happened. Just like my mother and the mother before me. And I'm just like, what?
Where the fuck did Solitaire come from? Like, how is she here? I know you don't know this, but I'm just saying as like a... Like, I'm just saying as like
a... I appreciate you going like, I know you can't give
I know
me
you
the
know,
answer
there's no
this.
Answer to this. I know you know no idea about this, but it's just like, why is she here? How did she get this power? Why is this white woman here?
Here is what it is.
Okay, so you know a little bit.
I know a little bit. I don't know where Kanaga found her.
Okay.
But she has this power.
Uh-huh.
And all women have the ability to have this power.
All women.
If they're virgins. So.
This explains so much.
When Kanaga threatened to take her power away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He was threatening to assault her.
Ooh.
And two, Bond now can't get any information out of her because she can't read cards anymore. And she can't go back to Kanaga because then he'll know that she no longer has the power because she's no longer virginal.
Okay.
Wait, you like this?
Well, it explains a lot about what happened to my half.
Okay. Because I was like, this is where I'm like, I don't like this fucking guy. He lied to her. He tricked her. He put her in a very dangerous position, unknowingly, sure. But like now, she can't go back to her fucking job.
Yeah. I mean.
And she's a virgin? Like, I don't know, man. That's some fucked up shit.
Put her in a position, but he didn't know that. And she seemed down with it.
She sat down with it because he lied to her because he stacked the deck of like, and then.
But
like,
she did the original lover card at the beginning.
That's a trick, dude. It's not real. It's a trick. Like he could just pull. He got lucky that as we know, James Bond is lucky. So she just pulled a card randomly, which helped. Like okay. if that was real, she would have pulled another lover's card when it happened again. Actually, it does happen one more time without him. Mm. But still,
there's two times.
I still think that
he stacks the deck, which
stacking the deck is bad.
No, stacking the deck, sure. But that's a very James Bond move, right?
That is a very. But that's also not good. That's lying to somebody. And then later on, he says, which, again, remember, she's like a virgin. So then later on, he says, lover's lesson number one, never lie to your lover. And it's like, you lied to her to get her in bed.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
it's
sure.
It's creepy to also go like lover's lesson. This man is like almost 50 years old. She's a virgin.
All right. You're right. You're fair. Fair enough.
This is where I'm like, I don't know about this shit, man. This is riding an edge that I don't think I can follow, man.
She is quite. I did notice that. I was like, she's pretty young looking compared to this man who is like in his 40s, it looks like.
I will say, and like, this is not to make the movie. Like, this is not to, like, make the movie any better, but Roger Moore would be the first to tell you that he never liked the fact that these movies, like, were about a very old man.
It felt that way. It feels like he's playing that way, though.
Yeah.
It feels that way. Like, I feel like even though they're putting in situations of, like, he's a sexy man, he's got to seduce women, and, like, clearly the intros are super fucking horny. Mm-hmm. I feel like he just doesn't, it's not his vibe.
So there's actually two interesting things about this. I read up a bunch about fucking Roger Moore while I was watching these movies because I was bored most of the time. One is he didn't like guns.
Okay.
He hated guns. And so he never enjoyed like firing weaponry in these movies. He never found it fun or entertaining or exciting. He was apparently afraid of them because when he was a little kid, he got shot in the leg by his brother.
Okay.
So he never liked being around them, which is one interesting thing because
that's
like,
interesting.
Two, apparently, he was, like, molested as a kid.
Whoa!
Yeah, and so...
Didn't expect that.
And so, I think that's the thing, is, like, he was always like, I don't like playing this, like, old man who's, like, coming onto these women who could be, like, my daughter.
The thing is like, what's different, though? From, like, well, I'm saying what's different from, like, Sean Connery.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
is, like, there's just such a different vibe. Like, I don't feel as gross watching this as much. Mm. You know? Like, I felt like before, it was just like, ugh. Taking her and, like, trying to, like, there were so many times he would just, like, slap women constantly.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, he did a lot. And in this movie, like, the most he's done is, like, he stacked the deck and said lovers, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not even on the same level.
He just tricked a virgin.
It's not great, but it's not, nearly as bad as literally physically assaulting someone, you know? Like, it's not on the same level, and it feels that way. And I think that's why these are a little bit more tolerable in some ways.
I think I was still judging these movies based off of the Connery movies, right? That's why I'm like, I can imagine Connery doing something like this and really despising it. But
yeah,
like, you're right. Like, if you have a little bit of a wink and a nod and you have a guy who's like clearly like, yo, bro, this is fucked up. Like, I don't think this is cool. It is even funnier because, like, she's like, I can't help you. I don't know what to tell you. My power is gone. He looks upset and so annoyed. Like, he's like, you have wasted my time. Yeah. And he, like, looks at his watch. He's like, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
And then she's magnetize like, something out here.
And then she's like, I need you to help me. I can't go back to Kanaga because he's going to fucking kill me. And he'll kill you. Or no, no. He says, like, I messed that up. She says, if you go out there, Kanaga will kill you. And he says, well, honey, lover's lesson number two, till death do us part. If he kills me, he's going to kill you as well. So, wherever I go, you have to go with me, sure. And I have to protect you.
Also,
can I just say one more thing really quick?
Yeah, yeah.
And then she says, well, what about lover's lesson number three? And then they bang. And then he says, oh, no sense in going off half-cocked. And then they have sex.
Nice.
So go ahead and tell me what
I think
say.
It's disappointing that now she's like no longer a virgin or whatever.
It's really disappointing she's no longer a virgin. Well, I totally understand where you're coming from.
But she plays like a... The thing is as virgin, I could see why she's so, like, meek and, like, I don't know, lame. Like, I'd expect her after she get her nut off, dude, she'd be way more cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's fair.
After
that's
she got
fair.
Banged by James Bond, I thought she'd be like, take more ownership. She fucking sucks, dude, my half. She fucking is nothing.
This is not a good movie for... I've been talking with, like, a friend of mine, Susie, about these movies. And, like, she's watched these movies, and she's always like, it's cool when, like, the Bond girl, like, is cool and helpful and, like,
so
does stuff.
So, like, 20% of the movies.
This is not a great example of that.
No,
right?
I think she's the worst. Like, in my half, she literally is like... I didn't know any of this story, obviously, because I saw the second half.
Right.
And that makes it worse. In a weird way, because I feel like they're setting her up to do like something cool or something interesting, or like maybe like take control of her destiny.
Yeah,
she doesn't do anything.
Shame. That's a real shame. It would have been cool, yeah, if she like discovered that she still had the power, or like she uses the power now for herself rather than for a man.
She uses the power and like maybe find some other way to be useful or helpful instead of just being like, I'm just sitting here doing nothing now because I have no power.
Yeah, she got nothing to do. Yeah. She's just another thing to have to worry about. So, Bond and Solitaire go out on by themselves, and they follow the voodoo scarecrows, and Kanaga's watching, and they are fired on via helicopter. They reach a small town. The police there are going to arrest Bond, which is funny because the last movie we saw had police getting calls from the local like villains, and they were like, you got to arrest this guy Bond. Same thing happens in this movie, except for it's not like Vegas. It's just like a small town.
Yeah.
But they say Solitaire is not to be harmed. Only arrest or kill James Bond. And so Bond...
It's very nice you can tell the police that. And be like, hey, don't kill the woman.
Yeah. And so Bond gets into driving a double-decker bus, and Solitaire is in the back, in the bottom back, and there's this big chase, and it's actually pretty cool, like, seeing this giant double-decker bus drive around. And then he drives down this one street that's like off-road, and it has a sign, and it says that there is a low bridge approaching.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just like, oh my god, what am I gonna do? And I don't see what happens. I had to turn it off right at that moment.
Oh man.
So what happens? Does he turn off the road?
He drives straight into there, and the bus gets cut off with a car inside of it. And I'm like, I don't know what is going on.
Wait, a car's inside of it?
There's a car inside of it, inside the bus.
Inside of the bus?
I thought there was. Am I wrong?
No, there's no car. There's a car like following them. Do you think like the
is
top
a
gets
boat? Is there a boat inside of it?
Do you think the top gets cut off?
Oh, and a car gets fallen into it. I think that might be it. I think that's what happens.
Good thing we both saw both halves of these parts so immediately, or else I would not have been able to. People would be calling in like, what are you talking about? There's a car on the top of the
boat. You guys don't know nothing about movies. You fools. Why don't listen to your podcast despite hating the fact that you guys don't know anything about movies? We're going to watch two halves of them.
Yeah. All right. What happens after that?
They escape on a boat. Someone gets a phone call and they say, it was a bust. I don't know who this person was.
So at this point, do you know that Roger Moore is James Bond? You have to just accept it, right?
Yes, I know that.
Okay.
I did realize that because I saw him and I'm like...
Because I don't know, he could be a guy, right?
I guess you're right. He could have
been a guy. I've not been in your position before where I have to just like
figure
learn
out
who James
what that
Bond is.
Is.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious because he has a suit on.
He seems like he kind of knows what he's doing.
He's in control. Yeah.
Fair.
James will never stop. Okay, so there's apparently something with like heroin smuggling is what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Is what he talks to Felix. He's like, how quickly can we get to New Orleans?
Woo!
Because they want to go to New Orleans because I guess Hamilton. Do you know who Hamilton is?
Yeah, it's like a Broadway show, I think, right?
Some guy named Hamilton was killed in New Orleans. They have a connection there, so they're going to go there now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe that's a good way to find Kanaga or Mr. Big or someone.
Yeah.
So they go to New Orleans. They get off the plane.
This is the next movie, like right after Vegas, and then we're going back to America.
Yeah,
spend time in New York and now in New Orleans.
Yeah, exactly. We're going. This is all America, baby, all the time.
And also a bit of the Caribbean.
But yeah, wait. What happened to Solitaire at this point? In your half, she was in the.
She was in the bus.
She was in the bus.
That's
okay,
all we
it
know.
Looks like maybe she got captured then. Because she's not with them. Dude, I came in when the bus was getting fucking sliced in half. I don't know any
of
these
characters.
I had no idea what any of these characters were.
That's fair.
People were just popping off. So I'm like trying to figure out because I'm like, okay, Solitaire was not
in the boat.
Not in the boat. I don't believe.
Okay.
So they go to New Orleans.
This is the best shit in the world.
It's chaotic. It was the most chaotic thing I came into.
That's fair.
So much stuff was happening.
You were in the middle of an action scene.
And I had no idea who anyone was. I barely had to figure out who James Bond
exactly.
was.
Exactly.
I wasn't going to worry about someone named Solitaire. So you go to New Orleans. He gets off the plane. You get a taxi. And he says, Are you sure this is the way in New Orleans? And this dude kidnaps him. He's just got these insane mutton chops. And he keeps calling James Jim. And he's like, Jim, relax.
Who is this?
Some random guy. But
what's
he's
he
like,
look like?
He's got a big dude with mutton chops. Oh. He's got massive mutton chops.
Is he like a big white guy?
No, he's a black dude.
Oh.
He's got a cool, I think a little afro, big mutton chops.
Mm.
Massive as fuck. Mr. Big wants to see you. And they take him to...
Mr. Big.
Mr. Big. Okay, hold on.
Oh, Ethan's putting it all together now. Oh, he's putting it all together now. Oh, what's going on here? Uh-oh.
Okay.
What's happening? This is really good. This is really good for the podcast.
I'm thinking.
Not that you're... No, I know you're thinking this is honestly great because now Ethan is actually reestablishing all that he knew about what he thought this movie was.
Exactly.
This is so exciting.
Well, I see these characters are because there's a woman with him.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking maybe it is solitaire.
What does she look like?
She's a white woman.
Yeah, that's probably solitaire. There's only so many women in this movie.
But like her character changes.
What is she now?
Well, so she's in there and she's...
Does she have like long brown hair?
Yeah, she's with them.
Yeah.
Does
she look like was recently virginal?
Virginalized? A great term. She's with them and they're like, hey, we're gonna go talk to this guy.
Mr. Big.
Mr. Big wants to see you.
Yeah.
And in the airport, these guys kind of corner him and they're like trying to get him on a plane. He's like, you made a mistake, you took a thing from Mr. Big, you're gonna regret it. And the lady we thought was his friend is what I wrote, because I know I knew who she was, says, my only regret is I won't be there to see it. She's pissed. I'm pretty sure this is solitaire. I don't know who else it is.
What the fuck?
I don't know any other white woman to do this.
Yeah. There was only other one. I mean, she did work with him, so.
I'm thinking of someone else. I don't know. I'm like tripping out now. Because I was like, maybe this will explain everything, but you didn't never explain another person because I did not think this was solitaire.
There's only two women that I can think of that were in this movie, and it was like solitaire and the one lady that died already, so I don't know who it could be.
It must be. Anyway, yeah, so you're going to regret it. So she betrays him and starts punching him, but he punches her like another guy while she's trying to punch him. Mm-hmm. And they do a little fight. He runs off inside a building. This is on the airport. And goes into a plane, pretends to be his old lady's flight instructor. She's like, I'm ready for our lesson. And he takes the plane and just drives around, taxiing the plane around the hangar. And these people with the cars, they all get the cars to try to chase him. And he just uses his plane and driving around. She's like, are we ever going to take off? And doesn't notice there's a bunch of cars chasing the airplane. And the airplane's running around the hangar. All these cars are smashing into all these other airplanes and busting up while they're trying to chase James Bond. And then he eventually kind of like all of them get neutralized. And he says, sometime tomorrow, Mrs. Bell.
Mm.
And she's paranoid. Because at this point, like he literally drove through a hangar as it was closing and snipped the wings off the plane she was going to fly in. And then he leaves.
Mm.
He goes to HQ and like I think it's M was on the phone, being like calming down the actual flight instructor that was supposed to fly her, because apparently Mrs. Bell went into intensive care because of all the shenanigans James Bond did. So we go to Filet of Soul restaurant in New Orleans. There's a funeral march.
How
again.
Good does that fucking Filet of Soul sound, by the way?
It sounds cool. It sounds cool.
I want to go in one day. Let's go to one of them.
Let's go to one of those. I mean,
like if they
Blues?
Have like a like House of Blues, like a Bubba Gumps, right? Like they probably have them all over the place.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
People are having a great time at this funeral march. Bond goes into Filet of Soul. He declines a booth. He said, once had a nasty turn of events in a booth.
Turn of events.
Oh.
The wall turned.
Oh, that explains, because I wrote that down because like this is definitely a reference to movie. That makes sense. He tries to order bourbon, but he's with Felix, and Felix is like, no, let's get two Sazeracs. Where's your sense of adventure? We're in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And then a lady comes up and sings, they live and let die.
Arabian Nights. You only live twice.
Gold finger. Just the whole melody of all. No, it's she just sings.
Yeah, yeah.
Die.
Live and let die.
And then he suddenly fucking Felix goes to go get the Sazeracs, yeah. And then James Bond gets fucking swooped down into the floor, and they put a new table there and replace all the drinks. And yeah. Felix comes back, he's like, "Where's my friend?" They're like, "I don't know."
That's awesome. So he's never gonna get a drink in one of these places,
he
man.
He never is. Yeah. He's never gonna get a drink. And then
do you know the Sazerac was, I think, invented in New Orleans?
That makes sense.
Like, because it has absinthe and whiskey in it.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was Hemingway's favorite drink.
Oh, nice. Good anyway, for him.
There you go.
I mean, that's if you're going to New Orleans, you might as well order it. Felix is right.
Yeah, it's true. David that's Long. What he, that's why he means, like, we should be adventurous and order this
yeah,
in New
yeah,
Orleans.
Try something yeah. new. Yeah. So then a guy is there. I believe it's Mr. Big. He says, thanks for dropping in, baby, as he slides in.
I love Mr. Big,
Mr. Big has such a weird face. And I was just like, why does Mr. Big look weird? And he's like, you've been a big pain in my side, Mr. Bond. You took something from me. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, old Kanaga believes in all that card crap about how you like have destiny. You're going to like kill me and all this stuff. And he's like, you killed a brother and stole this pretty lady. Did you mess with that? And I thought he was pointing to the cards because he said, did you mess with solitaire?
Mm.
And I thought he was pointing to the cards.
Yeah. Probably, right? That makes sense.
Maybe. But then he says, did you touch the girl? And I was like, I thought you were talking about solitaire, like the game she's playing.
Oh, he didn't know her name was solitaire.
No, I
love this.
And Vaughn says, I'll tell you all about what happened between me and her with when I see Kanaga. And Mr. Big fucking peels his face off.
Whoa.
And he's Kanaga.
What?
Kanaga the whole time was him.
What? I had no idea.
That's why I asked. I was like, are they the same room at all?
I mean, I remember Kanaga coming out of the room with Mr. Big, but then he must have like snuck out and then like went in or something again. Like was distracted by solitaire, probably. Like James was. We were all.
We
That's
were all.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah, he's Kanaga.
Whoa.
I was going to say, this Mr. Big guy looks kind of funky. He's got a fake face.
I mean, he doesn't look like he was a fake
maybe,
face. Maybe,
I mean, it might be
movie.
Different in my half, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Probably. That's fucking crazy. I thought he was played by a real actor.
Yeah. But anyway, Bond's now talking about how he's growing poppies for heroin and all this stuff.
Mm.
He's like, yeah, I was also Mr. Big. And then Kanaga's like, sell heroin for money? No. I want to give it all away. We got to give them free samples. A billion dollars worth of poppy or heroin. Nationally distributed for free. We want to double all the junkies.
Can I say something really quick?
Mm-hmm.
Kanaga is apparently like there's a thing as a his name is Kanaga, right?
Yeah.
Kanaga mask. A Kanaga mask is a mask that is used in Mali. Worn by members of the male society during ceremonies.
Oh.
So maybe the name Kanaga is like supposed to be like a reference.
Like he was always supposed to have like a mask on and then reveal it.
And then he masked off.
Masked off, baby.
I got to look this up. This sounds crazy to me.
Interesting. So he picks. Yeah. So he, you know, talks about how he's like, I want to create even more junkies everywhere with fucking heroin addicts. And he's like, did you touch solitaire? And then at this point I was like, wait, solitaire's not the game. It's
I think his name's
lady.
Kanaga. Could I don't know, man. This is fucking me up. Sorry. Keep going.
Okay. Anyway, so he's like, her name, and I realize her name is literally Solitaire. At this point, Teehee's there. He demands that Teehee snips off his finger. He's going to ask
with his
Solitaire
claw?
Some answers. Yeah. And I'm
That's
like,
well, awesome.
I'm like, why is he asking Solitaire, though? What does this matter?
I love
then,
this.
And then after, you know, he doesn't answer, she doesn't answer correctly, go for more vital areas. And then Kanaga takes Bond's watch and then says, okay, on the back of the watch, it says
Kananga.
Okay.
We've been saying it wrong this entire fucking time, I think.
Maybe. I mean, also, I feel like they were saying that in the movie, so.
I'm going to look it up. This is so, it's aggravating to me.
Okay.
Kananga.
Okay, we'll say Kananga. Though I'm pretty sure they were saying it Kananga, Kananga in the movie.
Whatever, it's fine.
Whatever.
Continue. Sorry.
So
I wanted to be accurate.
No, I appreciate that. So it says, the back of the watch says, say 3266. Do I speak the truth, Solitaire? And she says, you speak the truth. He seems happy with that answer. And then they just knock out Bond. They don't snip his fingers off.
Oh.
And then this guy named Whisper. Do you see Whisper in your half at all?
I don't think so.
Okay. Whisper takes, he says, Whisper, take him to the farm. He says, big.
Oh, is Whisper the big dude that like talks at a low register?
Yeah.
That's the guy that shot Bond's driver. I don't know his name.
Okay.
That's the thing.
They call him Whisper.
I had to put it together because he doesn't talk. He talks like this.
Very obvious. And Teehee goes, Teehee.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think he does.
It's almost like these are not characters.
Yeah. So like you're named after your personality, I guess.
You're named after your dysfunction.
Your personality higher. You go, Teehee. And you whisper. We need a guy who just whispers everything.
Yeah.
Otherwise you get too annoying. So then they knock out Bond, and then Kananga Mm-hmm. Is that how you say it now?
I think so.
Okay.
That's how we say it now.
I was saying Kananga before. Kananga says that goes back and asks Solitaire, like, listen, I've given you every break possible. I even gave you a 50-50% chance now. And she's like, please believe me. 50, I still have the power.
50%
Well, because she said, like, he's like, do I speak the truth about Bond's watch? And she's like, yes. So, like, clearly it was a lie.
Right, right.
And then she starts crying and he slaps her. And I'm like, what is happening?
Oh, man.
Because I had no idea. Yeah. I had no idea this whole, like, fucking, she has a power, and if she's not only because she's a virgin and she's no longer a virgin anymore.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, whoa.
Yeah, there you go.
Because now I was like, because I was so confused at this part.
Understandable.
Like, he fucking slaps her. And I'm like, why is he slapping her?
She For what reason?
She's just fucked up once, I guess. And then he says there's only one way to deal with this. And then we cut to Baron Saturday, who's sitting there at the table, and he pulls out a card, a death card, just starts going,
this guy fucking rocks.
Oh, he's so good.
I love him.
I was like, who the hell is this guy? He's amazing.
I've never seen him before.
I've never seen him before. Yeah. He's so good.
Yeah. He's awesome.
So anyway, Bond's fucking knocked out with a bunch of guys driving to the farm. Mm. And it seems to be like an alligator crocodile farm. I think it's both. And a bunch of people are doing like, so he walks into the house. He's getting a tour from Teehee. He's like, yeah, you know, we got a bunch of people here. And a lot of them are doing experiments. I realize now I'm just making heroin. But I'm like, look at all these scientists doing scientist stuff. Because that's how I've been trained from so many Bond movies. And I'm like, oh, no, they're probably making heroin.
They're making heroin, yeah.
So Teehee is showing around the croc farm. He's like, check out this alligator. It's old Albert. He took my whole arm off. He doesn't care. So that's why he has a prosthetic arm.
Yeah.
Teehee says, they eat anything, even each other. And then while he's walking out, I realize they're in the middle of like an island, and Teehee gets on like a little bridge, and the bridge retracts.
Yeah.
And Bond is stuck on the island by himself with a bunch of crocodiles around him.
He's like what he says, like, they eat each other, and like Ethan knows they eat each other.
I fucking love this video on the internet. Where
I have to bring it up every time.
Every time there's a bunch of people throw
meat.
This is
Ethan's favorite video.
It's not my favorite video. It's just what stuck in my mind, and I think it's very funny.
Yeah.
Kind of fucked up, but.
It's massively fucked up, but it's awesome.
It's just like fucking alligators, man. They throw a bunch of meat on the ground, and an alligator like grabs the meat and eats it. But then it's like Buddy doesn't realize that his friend grabbed the meat, so he just grabs the other alligator's arm with the meat, and then does the fucking death twist that alligators do, rip his fucking arm off and eats
it. And the
alligator doesn't give a fuck. He's like, my arm.
The meat.
He's like, my arm is gone. I don't care. I'm like, holy shit, these are crazy creatures.
Yeah. So we know firsthand they do just
they
eat
do
each other.
They do just eat each other. Do not care. And even the ones getting eaten, they're like, meh.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Got my mouth. Whatever. Anyway,
How's Bond gonna get out of this one?
How's Bond gonna get out of this one? Well, he has his watch, which I don't know why they gave it back to him.
Yeah, that seems stupid.
They gave it back to him. He tries to pull a boat with it because it's metal, but it's tied up, so he can't do it. And so one croc gets up on the island, and he's about ready to go get him. But then he sees a bunch of crocodiles that are kind of lined up like fucking Frogger, and he runs across them like Frogger.
Whoa.
And gets to the other side. It's very funny.
Now, I don't know if you know about this, but the stuntman that did this scene almost got eaten by a crocodile.
Really?
Because he was obviously...
Because there was like, they just showed his feet, so I imagine it was a stuntman.
It was a stuntman. He was attached to wires, but at the very last second, he like jumped down on the thing, on the ground, and then one of the crocodiles lunged and fucking grabbed his leg and pulled him into the water and death rolled him.
Oh,
and
shit.
He had to like run out. So there's actual footage of this.
Holy shit.
It's fucking crazy. Yeah.
This is less fun than the video, though. I like it. Being death rolled off his
and
arm.
What's crazy is, like, this fucking happens when you make a movie every year that has, like, all these crazy stunts and effects in it, you know?
It's nuts.
Yeah.
Also, just actually dealing with, like, live crocodiles. There's so many times it's like, oh, there's a shark in the water, and it's like, whatever, it's fucking in a glass or whatever.
Right. Like, in one of the last Bond movies where, like, Sean Connery's in the water with a bunch of sharks, but he's, like, behind, like, you know, glass.
Yeah. Although, didn't we read somewhere that it was, like...
One of them got loose?
One of them got loose. So maybe I'm wrong. Never mind. So then Bond goes to the feeding place where they got all the food, and he starts laying food out into the house where they're making the heroin and stuff.
Right.
And then Bond starts putting fuel on the house and lights it on fire.
Whoa.
And people see the alligators come into the house. They're like, oh, shit. I'm also like, these guys just left Bond on an island. They locked away. He's like, he's dead, obviously.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
that's done. Taken care of.
I'm like, it's an island, but like, it's not that far to get to the shore.
Yeah.
It's not like you left him in the middle of the ocean.
It's like at least 20 alligators away. Like, you could just run on them.
It's literally 5 alligators.
Yeah.
It's not that far. So then he fucking lights the house on fire. Everyone runs out and goes, ah! And he gets on a speedboat and leaves.
Mm.
And so some goons, local fishermen, it looks like, get in some boats and chase him because Kananga was like told him to or whatever. And
Kananga.
Okay. Listen, all I want to say is Kananga the whole time.
Just not Kananga. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's probably fine. The head goon. So there's a guy, I call him Fancy Goon. I don't know who he is. He looks cool, but he's got a fancy outfit. He drives in a car and he goes so fast. He kind of waits for like Bond to show up in a boat to cut him off. Right. So he's kind of on land. He's like, he's got to go this way. He's standing there, but he drove so fast. The cop got alerted to him.
Oh boy.
Okay. So before this part, I was like, this movie fucking campy. Love it.
You're loving it.
I'm having a great time. I'm like, this Bond, this is what I want. And then this cop shows up.
Yeah?
And this cop.
I know we're a cab here, but what's wrong with the cop?
This cop is like, hello, everyone. I'm the cop. You're being real shitty there, buddy. You picked the wrong parish to speed through. Mm-hmm. My name's Sheriff Pepper. Bond then jumps over the little land, and another guy following him actually lands the car into the sheriff's like fucking
car,
or he lives a boat into a car. And so the sheriff has to go get another car. Like some guys came by and they're like, wow, the sheriff's car is like got a boat in it. They're like, nah, it's one of them new fancy boat cars. And they're like, no, I'm pretty sure it's just, he got fucked up. The sheriff's like, I'm relinquishing this car. I have to get this guy because he fucked me up. This guy is just so over the top, like typical Southern.
He's like a crazy Southern sheriff, man.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds pretty annoying.
It sounds pretty annoying. So now the sheriff's bullet, he shot at the Bond's boat when he flew over. He shot the engine, so it's leaking gas out of it. So yeah. Bond has to figure out a way to get out of there. So he lands at like a rich person's place, and the two guys following him like jump over and land in the rich person's like pool. And so there's this big fancy people all sitting around, and these guys are like in this pool. They're like, get out. And Bond just steals one of the rich people's boats and drives off. And then the cop guy's like, they got a swamp full of black Russians here. They're trying to take over everything.
What?
I don't know. He's crazy. He thinks they're being invaded by Russians.
Okay.
So the cops set up like a line at a bridge to like stop him, and the Bond just drives through the barricade, and he's like,
you call my brother-in-law Billy Bob, he got the fastest boat in the whole damn river. Billy Bob sure enough fix the ass. Yeah, call Billy Bob.
God, this guy's so annoying.
So we cut to Billy Bob.
Wait, Billy Bob's gonna be in the movie too?
It's just a guy named Billy Bob. What do you think it is? Like Billy Bob Thornton?
No, but just like the fact, I thought he was going to be like, my guy Billy Bob can do this. And yeah. I thought it was going to be a joke.
No, Billy Bob's there and he's like, oh, I'm getting my fancy boat. But then our fancy goon guy comes over and he's like, hey, I need that boat. And he's like, everyone wants this boat. And he fucking knocks Billy Bob out and he steals the boat. So the goon guy's now going to chase it with the fancy boat.
Okay.
So now Bond does a drive by a bunch of people having a wedding. Oh, by the way, I don't know what's going on, but all these boats can land on the land and like go across the land for maybe like 50 feet and then they just go back in the water and they're fine. I don't think boats can really do that.
Well, yeah, they're like bayou boats, right? The ones with the big fans on the back?
No.
Oh, they're
these
not
are regular ass speedboats.
Oh, okay, that's crazy. Yeah. Man. I thought these were like the bayou boats.
Like hovercraft bayou boats.
Yeah. No,
not at all.
Okay, then this is fucked and weird. Yeah.
I would not question if it was a hovercraft bayou boat. Hovercraft, seen in last episode.
I feel like hovercraft bayou boats is not what they go by, but that's what we're going with.
No, I know.
Yeah.
We know what we're all talking about.
We all know what we're talking about with the big fans in the back.
Giant fan. Yeah. These are just standard motorboats.
Okay.
Person drives by and fucking hits a cake on all the people in the wedding. I'm like, ah! The cops and the cars are trying to chase him still, but there's this old chicken coop that they're yelling at. I'm like, fucking chicken coop, get the hell out of here. And they go to the side and get around there, and they see the boats go across another part of land, and all the cop car, it trips all the cop cars up, they all smash into each other, and then eventually the chicken car coop catches up. It's comedic. And and the cops are like, are you sure that guy was your brother-in-law? Because he's driving like an asshole. Not trying to help us at all.
Yeah.
Bond goes into stealth mode at a dockyard. There's like a big dock with a bunch of boats. And he kind of like gets some gas. He fills it up. And our fancy guy with the stolen boat's like looking around. He's like, oh, I'm going to get him. It's like a game of cat and mouse. But then Bond surprises him, drives real fast, sprays the gas at him, like lobs it at him. So the guy's face, he can't see anything.
Uh-huh.
And Bond turns around, puts his bolt at full speed, and it goes into the back of a bigger bolt and just fucking explodes because it's full of gas. It's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
And then you see Bond, he's driving back to the dock, and it says a sign that says, "Make boating a fun sport, 3 miles per hour, please." As he slowly drives into the boat and meets Felix. And Felix is, and he's like, "Felix, what are you doing here?" He's like, "Well, Kanaka's in town. This place is crazy." Oh, and then the sheriff shows up, the old shitty sheriff, and he's like,
"There's a son of a bitch, I got him. What are you? Some kind of doomsday machine, boy. Well, we got a cage strong enough to hold an animal like you here."
And Felix is like, "Why don't we
leave this?
Why don't
man.
We? Why don't we talk to this guy a little bit about what Mr. Bond's purpose is here?"
Oh, yeah. I guess he's the local sheriff, so he should probably know what's going on.
He should know what's going on. So they go to Kanaga. They're going to go try to rescue Solitaire and also try to kill him, I believe. And then,
okay.
Then they're also going to blow up the poppy fields he has because they know he has poppy fields there, and that'll really stop him. So they got some incendiary rounds already set there, ready to go. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, "Bond, good hunting." And then I said his fancy friend. Cause I don't know who this guy was, but I believe it's what's his face Jr.
Oh, Quarrel Jr.
Quarrel Jr.
Is he wearing a suit?
He's swimming, so like I don't think he's wearing a suit.
Might be the CIA guy, actually.
Oh, another black guy?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Fuck, what's his
name? Oh, yeah, you're
Stutter?
Right.
Strutter.
Strutter.
I think it's Strutter.
It might be Strutter, then.
Yeah.
But he has a British accent.
Fucking no.
I don't know.
I don't really know what the fuck.
Listen, this is what happens when we watch Shazam movie.
What do you want? What do you want from us? You want us to see the entire movie?
Yeah, we want to watch the whole thing. Go listen to another podcast. Okay. So he goes with his friend. He and his friend's like, "Hey, you need a shark gun and a suit. I'm going to put it here for your trip on the way back.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. Good hunting. Send regards to the Baron. Shoot him right between the eyes." And I realize it's Baron Saturday he wants to kill. So
why?
I don't know.
He's a man. He can't die.
A man who can't die.
Mm.
So we see the bad guys having a voodoo ritual, and they're going to grab Solitaire. They tie her up while doing a cool dance. Some folks get like a casket ready for her. Some dude appears in a goat outfit. He has a snake. He opens up a coffin.
Sounds pretty cool.
He has a snake going up there. It does, but it feels kind of like...
racist?
Yeah. It feels like... it feels like Jungle Cruise before they redid it.
That is such a good description. Yeah. That is the best description.
Like, we're just like, I mean, they're just going there, but they're kind of...
They're doing it in like an innocent way, but like it's also horrifying.
It's innocent way. It's making them feel like a villain and scary and othering. And it's just like, it's just icky. You know?
Yeah, totally.
Like, I don't feel good about this.
That's fair.
So the evil...
Well, they think they're doing it in an innocent way. They're like, oh, it's fun. Like it's voodoo it's stuff. Like, it's like, no, you're not representing anybody in a realistic way.
No, in a cool light.
Yeah.
So the guy with the snake teases Solitaire on the snake. It's going to bite her. She's like, oh no. But right before it bites her, everything stops. And the guy with the cool hat, Saturday, arrives.
Yeah.
But actually, the way he arrives is someone puts down a hat in front of a tombstone and he rises up from the tombstone and puts the hat on. And he starts there and fucking Bond shoots him. And I was like, oh shit. That's crazy. But he shoots him, but his face turns into porcelain as it breaks apart.
Oh, so it wasn't really him.
Or it was him.
Is he dead?
I don't know.
What?
I don't really know.
Do you see him again?
I don't know. We're going to get there, Mike.
Okay, that's pretty crazy.
And then Bond also shoots the guy with the stake to save Solitaire.
Okay.
And then, bombs start going off. The poppy fields start getting destroyed. Everyone starts kind of freaking out. But then... the guy rises up from another grave.
Whoa.
I'm like, whoa, that's crazy.
Awesome.
And then he fights Bond, and then Bond pushes him into the coffin with a bunch of snakes inside of it.
Yeah.
And then he dies.
So he really died there.
I guess. It's kind of a lame way. He just kind of goes, ah! And he dies.
That is pretty cool that he came back to life, I guess. But
it was pretty sick. The
then to
he
die from
up,
snakes.
So then Bond sees like all these elevators, obviously these guys with, you know, the Count Saturday, Baron Saturday, going up to the top,
right?
And
another Baron Saturday died in the coffin.
Yeah, he did, but he sees the elevators where he was going up.
Got it.
He goes there with Solitaire under there. By the way, he hasn't said shit to Solitaire this entire time. Hasn't even said like, oh hey, what's going on?
Or like, they're a little busy.
Or I got you, or whatever. And they go downstairs, goes down the elevators, and Kanaga's there, and he's like, he's expecting you. He's like, oh, there you are.
Because
there was a big underground base.
Right. There always is.
Mm-hmm. And we go back to, we cut back to the fancy boat where Bond is supposed to rendezvous. And they're like, oh, I saw that he already took his wetsuit and gun, so he's probably on his way back. Mm-mm. Kanaga did. Kanaga took his wetsuit and gun. So now Bond has no way back to the, back off the island because he's going to get fucking killed by sharks.
He's going to run over them.
Yeah, exactly. And so Kanaga's looking at the shark gun. He's like, this is an interesting device. He's like, oh, it's a shark gun. He's like, oh, what does it do? And he shoots. Whisper's sitting on a couch. He shoots the couch. The couch inflates huge and throws Whisper off the couch.
Oh, I've heard about this.
Oh, you've heard about this?
I've heard about this gun.
Yeah. Well,
oh, no.
You've heard about this gun.
I've heard about what happens.
I'm sorry you heard about what happens. I was so excited to tell you. But now you know what happens. I'm less excited to tell you. Oh, but I'm still a little excited.
I was, because I've always heard about this. And I was always like, what is the context of this? Well.
Yep. So anyway,
sorry. So, sorry to ruin your fun.
No, it's fine. Sometimes you can't. It's a big franchise.
It is
People
a big franchise.
People are going to spoil things for you.
That's true.
So Whisper flies off. Kanaga has a monorail. It kind of feels like the same set.
Monorail.
It feels like the same set from When You Only Live Twice, but smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if they reused it or what.
I like how he's a monorail and he has like a Jungle Cruise style. Like,
yeah, exactly. He's basically Disneyland.
Half of Disneyland is here.
Bond's gets tied up with Solitaire. It's kind of like this crane thing that lifts him up and puts him over a tank. But before he goes over the tank, they give him some cuts and they're going to send him over the tank with the sharks.
With sharks, yes.
So the blood starts dripping. The sharks start getting hype. They're like, oh shit, we're going to get you. But then Bond sees one of the gun shark bullets or shark gun bullets on the table, and he uses his watch to magnify it to himself, and he gets it. So the blood's falling in the water. The sharks are coming over. His watch, he turns it on and starts spinning, and it cuts the ropes.
Ooh.
And the ropes start getting cut. He escapes. Whisper's the only one who sees this. Kanaga's off to the side, and Whisper just says, look out.
Right, he's whispering.
And then he gets fucking kicked into like some like little rocket thing they have off to the side and like falls into it and gets caught in it.
Poor Whisper.
He doesn't die, luckily. He just kind of gets cut.
Oh, that was that was really worried about Whisper for
Whisper.
A second.
He's a great character.
Yeah.
I just feel bad. He's just like, watch out. So that Bond fights with Kanaga. They both fall into the water. And honestly, this looks pretty cool because they're fighting in the water. And I'm like, oh shit, a shark's going to come. This is going to look really crazy.
Yeah.
But then Bond shoves the shark bullet into Kanaga's mouth and then swims away.
Yep.
And well, I was going to ask, what do you think happens?
He expands and he blows up and he like pops, right?
That's not what I expected to happen. I was expecting him to like, I was like, oh shit, he's going to like blow up and die.
Yeah, no.
He's going to expand and blow up. No, he doesn't just expand, Mike.
What is that?
He inflates.
Yeah.
He inflates and goes to the ceiling.
Yes.
And hits the ceiling and explodes.
Yes.
That's not at all what you said.
All right.
You said
that's what I imagined, but okay. Yeah.
You imagine a normal person expanding
like
huge.
No, but it's not. He's like a giant.
He
like,
becomes a cartoon, a cartoon inflated person.
Yes.
Flies to the ceiling and then explodes.
Explodes when he hits the roof of the ceiling, yes.
No blood
and his
at all.
Eyes like pop out, too.
Yeah,
yeah.
They get bulgy.
Yeah. It's fucking stupid.
It is the last thing I ever expected. I was head in hands laughing. Could not, never expected this to happen.
God, I wish I had seen your expression. Because I've seen that shot before of his like eyes popping out and reaching the roof,
damn.
The ceiling. Yeah, and it's truly, it's almost disturbing.
That's
like,
a bummer you didn't see, get to see this part. Or you already saw this part.
I've seen it before, yeah. But it is truly insane, yeah. Yeah, wow. It's bad.
Or it's amazing.
poor guy,
it's
you know.
So dumb. So then Solitaire, in all her glorious wisdom, says, where's Kanaga?
What did he say?
Well, he always had an inflated opinion of himself.
Oh, shut up.
10 out of 10.
Oh, boy.
So then they're like, we gotta take the monorail out of here. So they take the monorail.
Yeah.
And then they've escaped. Everything is fine. He is gonna take the train out of there with Solitaire. And Felix is like, why do you want to take the train for 16 hours instead of like an airplane? What will you do with all that time?
He's
like,
I'm sure they'll find something.
Don't you worry. And then cut to them playing cards.
Oh.
He's teaching her gin rummy.
Oh.
And she's doing really good at it. And then he's like, he pulls out a bed and she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, unlucky at cards, lucky in something else. But then we cut to the inside of the train. And we see a claw pop out of a bag.
It's Teehee, bitch!
He's coming out.
Out of a bag?
Out of a bag. I went back and I was like, where did this come from? Because the last time we saw him, he was just like running away from the Crockett, the farm after he burned it.
Right. How did he get in the bag?
I don't know.
How did he fit in the bag?
He might have put himself in there. It was a big bag.
Oh, okay, okay.
He then kills the lights to the room. Mm. Solitaire's laying on the bed like, ooh, James. What? Lock the door, James. And the first time in my life, I feel like a complete woman. Ooh.
Oh,
and then she touches someone's hand, but it's the claw man's hand.
Yeah.
And then Bond like hits her into the like flips her little like bed up. It's not like a Murphy bed, but
yeah.
It's like a bed on a train. You fold it out.
Right.
Flips back up. She gets hit. She goes, oh, and he's like, good to see you, Mr. Bond. And then they fight.
Mm.
And then eventually he tries to throw him out the window, but his hand gets stuck on part of his metal hand gets stuck on part of the window, and Bond snips the wires in his prosthetic hand so he can't use it anymore. And then he throws Teehee out the window. He pulls Solitaire out of bed, and she's like, what's going on? What are you doing? And he says, just being disarming, darling.
Shut up.
And then we cut to the top of the train, and we see...
What?
And we see... Hold on.
Ethan doesn't know. What do we see? A character? An object?
Count Saturday. On top.
Baron.
I was trying to get his name right.
Like a vampire.
I keep calling him Count.
Yeah. I've come to suck your blood. Count Saturday.
Baron Saturday on top of the train, just looking at the camera and laughing and going,
can't die.
And that's the end of the movie.
Fuck, that's awesome. I'm glad he's still. Why is he on the train?
He can't die.
I like how he's on the train,
though. He might have helped Teehee.
Oh, maybe he got him. But I like how that's the end of the movie. Like, we don't know what happens to him. He might have just been like, all right, I'm out of here.
It's just scary. He's just there.
Yeah.
You can't stop him.
Big fan of Saturday. What do you think about this movie, Ethan?
It's fun. It's a fun movie. There's definitely parts that suck.
Yeah.
And are not great. Like, fucking the weird plot of the Virgin plot is fucking weird as hell.
Don't
like that.
Yeah.
But, like, and the weird fucking Jungle Cruise-esque exploitation.
Racism shit. Yeah.
And that stuff. Like, if it wasn't for that, I'd be like, four fucking bullet holes. But because all that's in there,
three bullet holes.
Yeah. Three bullet holes. Because,
yeah.
Like, I just love the campiness. They're just leading into it.
Yeah.
He clearly knows what movie he's in. He's not trying
he's
to be
a good
cool.
Time, yeah.
And he's not as, like, overtly misogynistic as he was before.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm having fun with him.
I'm glad you're having a good time. And you also got to see that guy expand and turn into a giant balloon and then pop.
Mind. I was like, what is this movie? This is how he knows it's a cartoon.
It's true. This is full-on cartoon physics now. Yeah, I guess I'd probably give it, like, a 2.5.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to rate it too high. I was like, I thought it was fun. I thought there were good moments, but I don't know, man. Maybe I'll give it 3. I don't know.
Yeah, give it 3. It's fun.
What'd you give it? Gave it 4?
I'll give it 3. No, I almost gave it 4, but the problematic parts. I was like,
then I'll go back down to 2.5.
Okay. I almost got you up there, but you're like, no.
No, yeah. The problematic parts sucked, and I really did like the women in this movie. Like, I really hated how both women
was
were treated.
Like, she legitimately... In my half, did like nothing.
It sucks when it's like, oh wow, it's like the first African American Bond girl,
she's in my half.
She's in the movie. I want to say 20 minutes. Like that's really bad. Like she's introduced like halfway through my half of the movie,
yeah.
And then she's dead another 20 minutes. It's like that sucks, and that really sucks. So I don't know. I think I'm gonna stick with 2.5 on this one. But I did like how fun it was. I liked where it took place. Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see where this goes. And I mean, obviously we've already seen, are we going on? And we have to go on right
now.
We
have to go on because we have seen
we've already
episode.
Seen the next one.
We've never seen the next movie. So
yeah,
we'll
so we'll decide on the next one. But guys, if you want to check and see if we're going to keep going, check out the next episode. You can find it on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read it in the show no matter what it says, even if... you don't remember our names. If you're like, oh, what's that guy's name? Oh man, I'm gonna mix it up.
Is that Count Ethan?
And if you want to get a hold of us, what are your thoughts on Roger Moore? What is your ranking as the Bond, the different Bonds? You can email us at email@theotherhalfpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Blue Sky, and we have a Discord. Check us out there. Do we rate the Bonds now, or do we rate them after they're done with their run? Is that what we're doing?
I feel like we do it after the end of their run, which is funny because we rated Sean Connery and we thought it was the end of his run.
And then he came back for one more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it ended up not really.
I mean, Sean Connery's still pretty high up there.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
And Peter Sellers is still pretty low. Yeah. Well then, guys, check us out next week. We'll continue this Watch Till You Can't. We have just started the Roger Moores, and we are going to see how long we last. Ethan, do you have anything else to say?
No, I'm trying to look up what the other Bond lady looked like. Rosie Carver?
Yeah. I believe her name was Carver. Yeah.
Okay. This promotional art.
The promotional art is not good.
Yeah.
Because there's also like a random blonde lady there, and I don't know who that's supposed to be.
I don't know who that's supposed to be. It's very strange. Yeah. They're just like, she's there, I guess. I don't know. Poor Rosie Carver. Pour one out for her. If you're a Rosie
Feel
Carver
bad for,
stand, please
yeah.
write in.
Feel bad for her. I gotta look. Is that her name? Yeah, Rosie Carver.
Yeah, Rosie Carver. Yeah. That's her name. Sad.
Yeah, I feel bad for her, but you know. Apparently, they didn't have any black women stunt people back in the day. So whenever any stunts had to be done for her, it was usually men in wigs. Good night, everybody.
Just going to let that one live and let die.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.